WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Are you always dieting or thinking about beginning again? And on top of that, do you feel ashamed of the fact that you spend time worrying about how you look? This is the type of problem my guest Dr. Judith Roden deals with. She's the founding director of the Eating Disorders Clinic at Yale University and a professor of psychology and medicine at Yale Medical School. In her new book, Body Traps, Dr. Roden offers advice on how to break an obsession with body image. I asked her if she thinks there's a growing movement against dieting.
Oh, absolutely. I think that health professionals are contributing to the anti-dieting movement because they're seeing increasing evidence that most diets don't work. There's also an anti-dieting movement that's occurring among women and some men in the society who feel that they've dieted so many times and most often regained it, and they find that dieting isn't the answer to weight control that they had hoped. So from many quarters, there's questions about the efficacy of dieting and the rationality of dieting if, in fact, it isn't efficacious.
So you think that there's a kind of popular anti-dieting movement, I mean a movement of people who, I shouldn't say movement, it's not like they're organized necessarily, but it's not just coming from the expert, it's also from the people who diet.
Absolutely. And I think it's because it's coming from so many different quarters that people are starting to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Is dieting often a cause of weight gain in the long run?
We think dieting and regaining and dieting and regaining, what we call yo-yo dieting or weight cycling, is indeed a cause of regain. It may not be the only one, but there certainly are very good data suggesting that it is one cause. Biochemical changes occur in the body that make it easier to store fat with each successive cycle of gaining and losing. There may be metabolic changes, and there certainly are changes in taste preferences. We find that people who are repeated weight cyclers tend increasingly to prefer foods that are high in fat, and these are the foods that have higher caloric density and are more easily stored as fat. So there are a variety of mechanisms by which weight cycling is tending to lead to problems, and all of those lead towards greater weight gain and greater fat deposition.
I'd like to get a sense of where you think we are now. What types of problems are you seeing the most of at the Yale Eating Disorders Clinic?
Well, we're seeing anorexia and bulimia in about the same numbers that we saw before, but what we're seeing much more of are women who are of relatively normal weight, who are just so intensely preoccupied by their body and their body image that they feel it saps energy from all of their other life pursuits and really threatens their self-esteem and sense of self-worth. I mean, these women get up and their sense of self rises and falls on what the scale says each morning, and they realize that they need help.
So these are women who have enough consciousness to realize that they don't want to be obsessed with their body image, but they are anyway.
That's right. There is a fine line, I think, between concern with body in a normal and healthy way. We are concerned about fitness. We're concerned about what we eat. And there are many good data suggesting that health is improved by attention in these areas. But I think the women who go over that edge and become so intensely preoccupied with their weight and where weight becomes a metaphor for themselves and how good or bad they are. And that's the point that many of these women get into problems. Not all of them understand that this is a problem and seek help, or not all of them understand that there is really help to be had for this. So many women live in this kind of, with these feelings in a kind of shameful, self-imposed isolation.
If there's perhaps a decrease in dieting now, do you think that dieting in a way is being replaced by plastic surgery? Because it seems to me plastic surgery is on the rise.
Oh, plastic surgery is enormously on the rise. Liposuction has gone up 300% as a surgical procedure in the last 4 years. So I think you're quite right. If we start to see that the health consequences of dieting are such that physicians and health practitioners aren't recommending it, and anyway, the general population is finding that it doesn't work, it's not that they're saying, well, let's not do that. Let's get more relaxed about our bodies and tolerate a greater diversity of weight, just like we tolerate a greater diversity of height. Instead, they're just looking for other fixes. Cosmetic surgery is one fix. Craziness about the degree of exercise is another kind of fix. Purging is another kind of fix, and I think that is why we see the contagion of bulimia that is often prevalent in some subgroups in American society. So I wish people would just have looked at the dieting data and said, that's not for me. I think I'll just get more relaxed rather than let me find the next fix.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Dr. Judith Roden, and she directs the Yale Eating Disorders Clinic. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Judith Roden, and she's a professor of psychology and medicine at Yale Med School, and she also directs the Yale Eating Disorders Clinic. As you point out in your book, the people coming of age today are the children of the Weight Watchers generation. Do you think that children of parents who have been watching their weight and who have been self-conscious about their weight are more likely to be self-conscious about their own weight?
Yes, I do, and there are a variety of routes by which that occurs. First of all, we have a great deal of data suggesting that girls who are the most eating disordered, not who are clinically disordered, but are just have very disordered eating, have mothers who think the daughters are less attractive than the daughters even do themselves. So we see that these are daughters of mothers who are concerned not only about their own weight, but also about the weights of their children and are either directly or indirectly influencing the daughters to feel less good about themselves. There are also very good data from work by Stephen Resnick and my group at Yale suggesting that women who are weight preoccupied feed their children with more anxiety, more ambivalence, and more emotion than women who are not weight preoccupied. And these are data looking at children who are 1 year old. The women are all themselves normal weight in this study, and the children are all lean. And we actually measure and rate the feeding interactions, and we compare it to the play interactions. So it's not that the mothers are overall more anxious. It's very specific to the feeding situation, and it's much more true of their feeding interactions with their daughters than with their sons.
How do you teach people to learn to view themselves less critically?
There are a variety of ways. Often, if someone doesn't like her or his body in total, we try to get them to find a part of their body that they're more satisfied with. And it's often the case that people can do that. Someone likes the shape of their foot or finds their hands okay, even though they don't like other aspects of their bodies. We get them to focus on those first and try to do things that are supportive of that part of their body, so creams or eye solutions, if it's their eyes that they like better, to try to get them to focus in the mirror or by looking at parts of their body that they like, treat them well, and then move on to other areas. It sounds fairly simple and in some ways somewhat trivial, but there are many people who put their bodies on hold until they get them to the point where they like them better. And since many of them never get to that point, they find themselves not doing the things for their bodies that would allow them to both gain greater body awareness and also learn to treat themselves better. So we start in small increments that's just one of many kinds of exercises.
One piece of advice I know you often give people is to take your current self, your current body, more seriously than the ideal self, the ideal body that you're striving for. What's that advice about?
One of the reasons that people get into problems with shame in particular is that they have a very large gap between self and ideal. And shame comes from that, from feeling that somehow you're left wanting in this real not fulfilling the ideal self. And so if we get more satisfaction with the real self at the same time working on developing an ideal self that's more realistic and perhaps more attainable, we begin to reduce the shame that many women experience and help them to get on with their lives and feel better about themselves. The women who get in the most trouble are the ones who are most perfectionistic. because they have very strong ideals and they're constantly striving and driving themselves to attain those ideals. So those perfectionistic women are ones with whom we work most particularly in this area.
When you're working with people with eating disorders, do you feel like you should get into a social critique with them? You know, talking about how the media affects your self-image and talking about body image as a feminist issue, things along those lines.
In treatment, we'll let women raise those issues, but certainly one can't treat women for weight-related concerns without these issues being addressed and brought up spontaneously by these women. Many feel that they are caught by society standards imposing themselves on them. What we help them to do is understand these standards and the context of them, but to also understand that they don't have to fall prey to them if, in fact, they work towards a greater sense of self-awareness and self-understanding. We do this, though, in the context of validating that thinking about one's body is important, that it is body image is an important component in self-image, and therefore not making them feel that it's trivial or silly to worry about this.
Is there such a thing as a foodaholic? I've had women say to me, I'm thinking of one in particular who is really very, very successful, that she just can't have food in the house and really has to be very severe in how she restricts her intake of food because she's a foodaholic, and when she starts eating, it's just impossible to stop.
There's no question that there are people who are compulsive eaters, and I've tried, and other people also have looked at what we now call the medicinal effects of food. There's no question that food has metabolic and biological effects. It affects neurotransmitters in the brain, and it may be for different people that food really does turn them on in different ways. Those are new data that I think do suggest, although we wouldn't use necessarily in science the metaphor foodaholic, that there are people who are differentially turned on by food.
So what would the solution be for them, to not eat? I mean, you can't exactly do that. You could starve yourself.
No, it's not true of all foods. So what people have to find out are what are the foods that lead to this kind of turn-on. For many, it's carbohydrates. And for many, it's carbohydrates at certain times of the day. So there are it's important to examine more critically one's eating and to determine the time of day and the kinds of foods in order to see where you may need to restrain only certain types of things at certain times of day.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people who want to lose weight skip meals. And you suggest that that's not a very good idea in the long run, not only because you're depriving yourself of nutrition, but you're actually lowering your metabolism, and it might work against losing weight in the long run.
That's right. That's especially true in the morning. They most often skip breakfast, and it's very important to start the day with breakfast, not for the old saw reasons that our mothers told us, but because it really does give a kick start to metabolism, which has slowed down during the night when we're sleeping. There is evidence that scattering calories over the course of the day has a better metabolic effect and actually burns more calories than eating the same number of calories during fewer meals. So it's especially important to not slow down to where you're just eating one big meal a day, which is the worst thing to do metabolically.
You are an expert in the area of eating disorders. Do you have any of the symptoms yourself that you've described? Have you ever, really obsessed on body image or tried to diet or just been very self-conscious about the way you eat or what you eat or how you look? Any of this stuff?
Sure. I mean, I've done a great deal of research both on the psychology and biology of obesity and eating disorders and weight regulation. And also, I'm a woman. So I think it's endemic to being a woman to be attentive to and worried about one's weight. But I've not had any of the more major problems that I talk about.
So basically what you're saying is you think that some of the stuff is kind of unavoidable in our culture.
Oh, I think it's quite unavoidable at the moment in our culture. And I've written this book to try to get people to avoid it, to think in a more healthy way about themselves and their bodies and their eating. This isn't the only culture. I mean, bodies and beauty have been a preoccupation of women and for women for generations. The foot binding of the early Chinese, the wearing of corsets in the Scarlet O'Hara kind of Civil War era. I mean, all of these were ways for women to fulfill whatever the beauty ideal was at the moment. So I think we're missing some of the point if we just focus as a blame on modern society or the current beauty industry or the current media. We miss the point that body has always been the domain in which women have had to play a central role in worrying about themselves.
Dr. Roden, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Judith Roden is the founding director of the Eating Disorders Clinic at Yale and the author of the new book, Body Traps.